Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stone, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stone.
Folks, welcome. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment's brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Go to sdcarb.com for all your fuel injection carburetor and distributor. That's right. He works on distributors as well. He can get just as much horsepower out of that as you can imagine. Hey, we got our buddy back, Dakota Dickerson. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me back. It's been a while, so good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been a while. So what have you been up to, my friend?
Been up to some racing. It's been good this season. So we're doing F3 Americas this year. As you know, we did F4 last year, managed to win that championship and got us a big scholarship to do F3. So we've been pursuing our open wheel career, trying to keep moving up the ranks. So it's been going really well. We're in our last weekend, I'll head to Sebring, Florida next week for the last rounds. But we've actually managed to lock up the championship already. So
really?
Going there looking for, yeah, it's been good. We've just been, you know, we had a lot of wins in the beginning of the season. Been pretty consistent ever since, even with a little bit of bad luck. So we've gotten enough points now where we still have three races at Sebring. So rounds 11 or 13, 14 and 15,
mm-hmm.
But we've gotten enough points where we've locked up the championship, which is a lot of fun. It kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off, but still obviously want to focus on winning. So yeah, it's been really good this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's only a little bit of pressure release. Not a lot of pressure release, just a little pressure release. So tell the folks again, what series do you run in?
We're running in F3 Americas. So it's the second year running. Basically, it's a regional F3 series. So around the world, there's a bunch of different F3 series. This is the first one in the North American region. They also have their F4 U.S. Championship, which runs primarily in the U.S., but F3 Americas runs across the U.S. and Canada.
That's awesome. How many cars are you up against?
This year we've averaged 13 cars, so because it's its second year, the series is doing a really good job building and trying to get the car count up. So we've seen twice as many cars this year as we have last year. We've kind of seen a similar growth in the F4. So F4 started in 16, so they're in their fourth year now, and they're averaging around 30 cars. So I think the growth in the series has been good. I think it'll keep moving up. They've got great partners in Honda, HPD, and Ligier there, so I think the series will continue to grow, but it's been good for us this year too.
Absolutely. So this is a road to where?
So for me personally, it's the road to Indy. Obviously you have the ladder system in the road to Indy with the USF 2000, mm-hmm. Indy Pro, Indy Lights. The cool thing about F4 and F3 here in the States is you get FIA super license points for doing it. So what, you know, the FIA is doing is opening up a regional series over here, trying to develop American drivers or North American drivers here in the States and being able to jump over and find a path over into F1. For all the listeners that are out there, basically, in order to get into Formula One, not only do you have to bring a substantial budget, but in addition to that, you have to accumulate enough points to get what's called a super license. And the only way you can do that is by finishing, you know, well in championships. So if it's right now, you have to get 40 super license points in order to get a super license. And for winning F4 last year, I think we got around 15. This year we get 18. And they take your three best consecutive years. So right now we're actually at 38 of the 40 with our third place championship in F4 and 17. So we're almost there. But yeah, it's a really great opportunity to be able to do that here in the States.
So who are some of the folks that have been helping you along the way? Because I know you can't do it all on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had a fantastic support group that started off actually in the Austin, Texas area. So there's a friend of mine who I met at Skip Barber here. he lives here in San Diego, introduced me to this awesome group of people in Austin, Texas during the F1 COTA event. So we have a lot of companies that are based out of there, Rox Baldwin, Belterra Eye Care, Westlake Dermatology, and a really big one for us is actually Stress Engineering, that they're mainly in the oil and gas industry, but they're trying to open up their market in the auto and kind of motorsports sectors, where basically what they do is they can analyze and provide engineering solutions for companies that need, like, you know, any sort of stress testing, essentially kind of in their name. So where they analyze certain structures and see how it can be improved, or, you know, do post event analysis, things like that. So it's really cool companies that have really been a huge help in getting us to where we are. So it's been fantastic.
And what was that called? Stress what?
Stress Engineering Services.
Okay. And that's that's amazing that they see, well, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with you and your ability to not only drive extremely fast, but you've done extremely well when it comes to the media side of it as well. You've always given, you know, the media the opportunities, you know, necessary for, you know, wherever you go, you've always been accessible. And I think that's an important attribute to part of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're racing drivers, so it's supposed to be an entertaining sport, not only to watch, but also to hear from. So to have opportunities to speak to you and all the media, it's definitely a privilege, and it's something that I really enjoy. So, you know, anytime I get to talk about racing, it's fun.
Well, this is your career. This is what you want to do for a living, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I started when I was six. And I think, you know, after a few years, I really kind of found out that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Sure.
And we've been working hard to make that happen, and had a lot of people around us that have, you know, allowed that to happen these past few years. So working hard to keep that rolling. And, you know, it's been a really good couple of years with F4 and F3. So trying to keep on moving up the ladder and keep getting some more opportunities.
Right. And you know, a lot of people don't realize how difficult it is. I mean, it's like a job. I know you're having fun, especially when you win, but it's still a full-time job. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% a full-time job. I mean, 90% of the work happens when we're not even at a racetrack.
Right.
So, you know, the hardest part about racing, to be honest, is actually getting to the racetrack, you know, finding the funds to get to the racetrack and actually participate in the events. So the work that you do away from the track is, you know, even more important. Well, it's probably equally important as what you do on the track. So obviously having the results to back up the efforts is important, but, you know, putting in the work to even get to the racetrack is huge for us. And that's why, you know, having the sponsors that we listed, having people like Doug Mockin and company too, a local California company, it's been amazing. And, you know, we're just trying to keep on pushing.
So you started when you were six. When did you start an exercise program? Because I know it's not getting any easier.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely not easy. I mean, to be honest, I transitioned into cars when I was basically 18. So 2014 is when we started doing Skip Barber. 16 was when we started doing like the more professional stuff with USF 2000. And that's when you really start noticing the whole physical aspect. So nowadays we're working with a couple personal trainers. Medterra CBD company up in Irvine area has a separate branch called the W Training Facility. They work with a lot of athletes in kind of surf, skate, and now motorsports. So we work with them. We also have a fantastic trainer here in San Diego that I go to three times a week. So it's huge. I mean, kind of talking about the off-track side of racing gets me thinking about how much work it actually is putting in with the business side and the fitness and everything, and kind of the whole marketing side of it too. It's a lot of work, but man, it doesn't feel like it because you're having so much fun. So I guess that's the good thing.
Well, that's exactly right. I am so excited that you've done as well as you've done, man. That is just awesome. And so what's the plan for 2020?
Yeah. So for winning F3 right now, looks like, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce it, but we look like we're getting a $75,000 scholarship to move into another racing series. So that's definitely going to be a big springboard for us trying to get into what we're trying to get into for next year. So on the Formula, so we have two kind of paths that we can go at right now. There's Formula cars in the open wheel sector, like what we're doing in Formula 4, Formula 3. And then there's also the sports car sector with prototypes and things like that. So we've got a lot of opportunities on the horizon. Just a matter of figuring out where we got to go.
All right. right. Well, hey, when the season's over, I'd love to get you your car back on KUSI. You just let me know when and where.
Yeah, absolutely. I can do that. No problem.
All right, buddy. Hey, how do people follow you around?
You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Facebook is Dakota Dickerson Racing. Instagram and Twitter is at Dickerson Racing. You'll find a lot of cool content there. We're actually doing a couple fundraisers right now for some great charities, so be sure to check us out.
All right, buddy. Hey, give the family a big hug from us, too. Thank you, man.
Awesome.
All right. That's Dakota Dickerson, folks. Follow this guy. He's going to make it to the top, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dirt Dude's going to call in and talk about what happened last night at Barona Speedway. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Go to ElCajonFord.com. Check them out. Check out their inventory. Do you know 80% of their used cars are trade-ins from the general public? That's right, 80%. Unheard of. They sponsor Barona Speedway, and let me tell you what, Barona Circle Track has really ramped it up this year, and next year is going to be even more exciting. We ran last night. Weather was great. Got Dirt Dude on the line. How'd it go last night there, Budski?
It was a pretty awesome night. Wish everyone would have kind of showed up to enjoy it. It's one of those things. Not a lot of fans came out, but we had a lot of great night of racing. On our juniors, Deegan Irie got a main event win. For the Junior Sprints, the Mini Dwarf Masters, Jaden Medina got another main event win. And then in our Mini Dwarf Sportsman's, Gage Baldwin got a main event win. That's his second one, I think. And then on to the big track, the big kid, Nick Novak, got a main event win in the Pure Stocks. And that was a pretty good run for him. That was a good show.
Didn't he twist an axle off in practice?
Yeah, he had one of the worst days with the best finish. He's like, he broke an axle in the heat race.
Destroyed all the brakes, the backing plate, the shoes, wheel cylinders.
Yeah, it tore the back of the car up. And he thought he was done. And then everyone was like, no, man, we'll just put it back together. They got parts. They put everything back together. And he came out and
beat him.
Had a good run.
Oh, my gosh.
He won the trophy dash, too. So he actually had... $200 from Trophy Dash and then a main event win tonight, last night too. So, I mean, it was a good turnaround from a bad, hot day. So,
you know,
it was really cool.
You guys are growing an animal out of this. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, because he's spreading the disease to all his buddies and, you know, everyone else too. And he's talking about he's putting another... I asked him, I'm like, you're going to put a mini dwarf together for your kid pretty soon too, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, when I get the chance, you know, my son's going to come racing out here now.
Because so cool.
I guess his son was helping him rebuild the whole car the whole day. Every problem they had, he goes, my boy was in there helping me get everything fixed.
So cool. All right. So how'd the rest of the night go?
And our dwarf cars had a really good main event. Darren Brent came back to the track. Been a while since he's been away. Him and Darren Brown had, you know, just a battle. John Cramp finished third, and it was a good run by all those guys. I mean, a good, fast group. In our street stocks, Dave Capella got another main event win. And our pony stocks, Dennis Taylor got a main event win, and Lucas Vandersteeg got a main event win in the stock pony. Dennis Taylor was in a pro pony. So it was a pretty cool night. We had 54 cars. Had the modifieds were out at Boone, so they were doing that Winter Nationals for modifieds, so we didn't have a points battle for modifieds, so they opted not to go. And actually, pretty cool, because a couple of our drivers went out there and tried to make it into the show. One of the kids actually made it into the show, but then got a technical DQ after his heat race that he would advance to the A main into. So was a bummer from that one. Had quads show up last night. Had 15 quads, about 54 cars. And like I said, the fans, I don't know what happened with them last night. We had just a little over 300 fans show up, and that's kind of really off night. But, you know, we didn't have the modifieds. I'm thinking a lot of people didn't show up. But next race will be September 21st. We're going to have UTVs coming back, side-by-sides, mowers, mods, wingless mini sprints, street stocks, pure stocks, and ponies. And we're pretty much running everything except for dwarf cars. Dwarf cars got a big national going on, so they are going to be not running at our track because it's a non-points for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 21st, but next weekend, our streets and modifieds are going to be going out to Kokopa, and our pures and our mods are going to be going up to Paris. So there's two good races on the 13th and 14th at Kokopa, and then the 14th at Paris.
Oh, Kokopa's a two-day?
Kokopa's a two-day, a Friday, Saturday.
Interesting. That should be a great event as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of debating which way I should go. Should I go to Paris or go out to Kokopa?
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm going, gosh, I wonder which way would be the best way to go, because both races will be great.
Yeah.
Isn't it just about the same distance?
For me, no. I'm in North County, so Paris is a lot closer to me. Probably for you, it'd probably be,
Paris is anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours for me.
And how far is it to Yuma?
Probably about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you're probably in the middle. Like when I talk to everyone that's down there, Lakeside, Santee, El Cajon area.
Yeah.
They say it's about the same to go to Paris as it is to go to Yuma.
Yeah.
Because it's actually out in Somerton, which is south of Yuma.
Right. I wouldn't mind taking a run out there. Just to say I've been to Kokopa, you know what I mean?
I'm going to go wherever the job offer is going to be. I talked to Kokopa and see if they needed help out there. And if he gets back to me, I'll go out there and do some announcing out there.
They don't have an announcer?
They've got two guys showing up. And they had something on social media. I'm like, hey, you're forgetting about me. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, sorry. You want to be part of the group? I was like, I was only joking, but
heck yeah,
I'll take you up on it.
Yeah, as long as the check don't bounce, I'm ready for Eddie.
And Brad Whitehill was like, yeah, you know, we're down to have as many talented people we can have, you know, in the booth. I'm like, if you want, I'd be there.
Heck yeah.
And I'd go to Paris, and I'd watch that show. I went up there for Night of Destruction last their Night of Destruction, was it last weekend?
Last weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool because that's one of the few times I've ever got to sit and watch a race and not be like working a show or working, announcing, doing something.
Did you see who won?
Got to watch it.
Did you see who won the demo cross?
The
80-year-old man that's racing?
Yeah, that guy was just real consistent. Did his race. He just did the race.
Did you see that car, though? I think it was a 70 Malibu when it first was born. But it's got enough guardrails, and he's got...
Nothing on there. There's no rare deck lid or trunk or hood. No. And
looks like a tank.
And a roof.
I mean, it looks like a tank.
Never going to tell what that car is just by looking at it.
No.
Did you see they had a limo up there?
Yeah, I seen the limo.
That was hilarious. Guy shows up, knocks the glass out of it, and goes racing with the limo. I'm like, dude, that is the biggest target out there. You know how many trucks are going to be looking for that one?
Oh, my. And you just can't go fast enough, I'm telling you. I don't care what you think. That was
you're going to stand out like a sore thumb, too. So everyone's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to hit the limo. There's a whole yard of, side panel on that car. Oh. You can hit it somewhere.
Yeah, you can hit it as many times as you want on both sides if you like. That's awesome. So, hey, now the racing season, how many more races we got left at Verona?
We have two more left. So the 21st and the 5th will be the end of the race season. And then we're talking about our two-day race that's going to be in November. Probably the second weekend or third weekend, which I'm trying to remember what the dates are, like 8th and 9th.
Mm-hmm.
That should be same as, it's a lot that they're conflicting with because Kokopa and Paris are having the same nights.
Mm.
The 7th, 8th, and 9th is Paris, and then 8th and 9th is going to be Kokopa.
Mm.
We're going to go the next weekend after that would be 13th or 16th or something like right there. I can't remember which those 2 days are, the last 2 days. On the next weekend, and I think that's the same time as the Dueling Desert, which is out in Vegas, which is a big modified show that everyone goes to.
Yeah, that'll be totally crazy. So how's the championships looking? Is it going to come down to the wire on any of the groups?
It's looking really good. There's a couple that are like, yeah, they have to, you know, complete the season to get a championship, or at least take the last green flag. Dwarf cars, if I don't think Darren Brown has the points. They didn't have a point standing on this one for last night, so I haven't updated point standings yet.
Yeah, so, but I know it's
really hard to tell, but it's going to be a good race.
Well, the last three are going to be great, so people all need to mark their calendar, go to baronaspeedway.com, and actually, you know, check out the races, because if you want to see some unbelievable, you know, racing, you know, that's, it's going to be the last three nights. Hey, by the way,
yeah,
Troy,
even the quad showing up was a cool race.
Yeah, Troy Salazar is going to Kokopa, so he'll drive you over there if you want.
Oh yeah, my limo.
In the limo, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so that sounds awesome, man.
I got to thank everyone at Brona Speedway. They do an awesome job. The whole Salazar family, and we got a great group of a volunteer crew that, you know, dedicated, put their heart into it, and not just, you know, this Saturday thing. They're there fixing, doing repairs all during the week, and then the Friday before, you know, there's so many people that are behind the scenes that put work into that track. Yeah. That, you know, really, but
we gotta get more bodies out there. We gotta get more people to go out there. It's $12, folks. $12. Parking is free. Totally free. Yeah. You can go out there, bring food if you want. They've got awesome food there. You know, you can bring your own libations if you want. You can spend the night if you want. I mean, when's the last time you took your family out and did something for fun? And this is a great way to do it. There's multiple places that you can view the races. You can go into the pits afterwards. I mean, you just got, you know, people just, you know, don't realize how much fun it is until they've actually gone out. We just need to get more and more people to come out there. That's for sure.
And we're even doing discounts for military families. Family shows up to get a discount.
Yeah.
Any worse than that.
Yeah. You can't beat that, you know, at all. So, folks.
Well, I'm thinking that this was just a fluke thing. This last race was just, you know, the heat, and maybe, you know, we didn't have a car count, or the cars that some people wanted to see. So next race, we should be able to see if it turned around or not. If we get, you know, back to our normal a group of fans that we have showing up, our normal amount of fans, then I think it was just an off weekend, because there was nothing that I could think of. No other races, no concerts, no nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was going on as well. But, hey, who cares? Get yourself out there, folks. Support your local dirt track. You don't want it to go away. We're not saying it is, but, you know, we can't be complacent. You need to get out there and support your local tracks and help your kids learn a great lifestyle, and racing is where it starts. All right, buddy, thanks a million. Always appreciate you calling in. That's baronaspeedway.com, and that's Dirt Dude, the announcer.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
All right, buddy. All right, folks, FM 96.1 AM 1170. This is The Answer. We'll be right back with special guest from Paris Auto Speedway, Chuck Becker, modified champion, a couple times over. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment's brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. No, it's not. It's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. I always jump down. I don't know why I do that. ParisAutoSpeedway.com, 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California, where it's the fastest half-mile track. And guess what? We've got somebody out there that has figured out how to harness Paris Auto Speedway. That's Chuck Becker, modified champ. How you doing, buddy? Hey, Chuck. Oh, Chuck. Hello. He's in there somewhere.
There it is.
There he is. We just got to find the right button. Ah, rookies, you know. Both my board ops have got yellow stripes across their back. In about another five races. Yeah, in about five more broadcasts, we'll be able to take the sticker off. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, right on. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Not doing bad at all, but I'm glad Scott was nice enough to hook us up for this interview. It was kind of interesting. You know, how I don't know if you play with your phone as much as most other people play with their phones, but Scott puts on here that Chuck Becker, free time modified champion. So I'm assuming free is three?
Yeah, it's three.
I just thought I'd double check. So how long?
Some people get lucky once. I get lucky. I got lucky three times, so it's all good.
No kidding. How long have you been racing?
Off and on, about 40 years.
Oh, wow. So that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
I'm very, very lucky to get to do what I get to do.
Yeah, no kidding. Who's that gentleman last week out there? Drives. He's 80 years old, and he runs the demo cross.
JD. Yeah. Yeah, he was a modified driver for a while. He's been racing a long time.
And what a great interview on top of it. I mean, it was a blast. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, JD Wilson, he's a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah, and to be able to still get out there, and I was talking to one of the announcer at Barona, and he was at that event. He says, dude, that guy is smooth as silk.
Right. He was actually racing modifieds up to about 4 years ago. And
4 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was holding his own pretty good, so.
Golly, don't you wish that when you hit that age?
it's not easy sometimes. Some of these kids are fast, and they've got a whole bunch of money back in some of them. Some of them aren't, I mean, I could be politically correct, or I can tell you how it is.
Yeah.
Some of them have no business doing it. They're nothing more than average street stock drivers. They got a whole bunch of money back in them, and other ones are really good. And like this year's the championship, if anybody wins it besides Bradley Morris or Joe Horetzky, they got the wrong one, because those two guys are racing their butts off.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's just it's unbelievable. So how are you doing? How are you looking this season?
I've had just about everything that could go wrong. And some of it's been really frustrating. Some of it you just shake your head at. And other times you throw your hands up in the air and you go, what is going on? We went clear to Antioch twice in two consecutive weeks and broke two engines in the car that I was going to drive for the guy up there. And didn't even get to run a lap of a heat race. It was ridiculous.
So you hauled all the way up there.
I was lucky, and I had a gentleman that drove us up in his van, and we drove back and all that. And it didn't cost me anything but my time. But, man, that was busy weekends to drive 7.5-8 hours each way just to break and not get a race. So,
gosh. But, hey, that's part of racing. That's part of racing.
It's just been that type of season. And, you know, I can gripe about it, or I can accept the fact that it's just that year. And I'm really still lucky to get to do what I do. And I've got a lot of good support behind me and with me, and count my blessings and keep digging away and see what happens.
Well, and you're not living off of what you make in racing, right?
Oh, God, no. Most of us are never going to do that.
I just had to throw that out there, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, people think that you race car drivers are just, you know, the limos and the Learjets and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's okay. I'm not interested in that. No, I hear you.
For the most part, we're weekend warriors. I tried that once for a couple of years, mostly because I was just unemployed. But I was driving for other people and making half of what the cars were making. And I was driving like three different divisions in different cars and having a blast. But I ate a lot of Top Ramen those days.
Oh, you guys and your Top Ramen, man. I tell you, I cannot even get near that stuff. It runs through me like grease through a goose, boy, I'm telling you.
Right, but when you're hungry, you also find a lot of different ways to make it, so it tastes a little bit different each time, but, man, it gets brutal after a while.
So you didn't really answer the question. I guess that you mentioned that anything that could go wrong went wrong, so I guess you're not high on the standings to get a podium?
No, I haven't. I've been in position to. Two races ago, I led, and was leading, and the car was bad fast. It was just bad fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I, believe it or not, broke a steering box and it kicked the power steering out of it. And in most instances, you can still drive a car without power steering, but these modifieds, the way that the front ends are set up and all that, and you're trying to push through a fluid through a place that it ain't going to go.
Right.
It by the time the race was over, I couldn't even turn into the pits. My son had to come and help me turn the car to where I could get into the pit.
Oh,
so
God.
it was just bad. And I ended up, I believe, fifth or sixth.
Oh, my God. And I bet you were exhausted.
I was exhausted, and I was very happy with how good and fast we were running and leading and driving away. And I was also just as disappointed at the bad luck continuing for the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had the brakes go out on lap three on a car. I had a couple broken engines. I've had a wreck happen in front of me that I've driven into. I've gotten taken out by somebody that decided he wanted to win the race on lap three. I mean, you name it, it's happened.
Sounds like a book. Sounds like a book.
It's very frustrating, but like I said, you just keep digging away, and eventually that luck changes, and when it does, then you race as often as you can, as many places as you can, because it's all going to go right.
Yeah, because there's going to be a time where maybe you may not be able to do it for whatever reason, so you might as well enjoy it to the max right now as much as you can. So,
right.
With that being said, who are some of the folks that help you get to these tracks, sponsor-wise?
Oh, my. Sponsors, I've got Swift Springs that back me, Lucas Oil, A First Impression, Carpet Station, Huss Trucking, PRE 2.0. Randy Thornell with BRT Race Engines is unbelievable how much he helps me, way more than just with engines, but with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brittle, I mean, my girlfriend Eileen, my mother, CJ Evans, Wyatt Fate, David Houston. I mean, there's just so many people that dedicate their time and their efforts, and they never give up. They're just there. And it's like sometimes when you want to give up and you look at how hard these people are working that you don't have to do it.
You can't.
You just can't. You can't give up on them.
No, you really can't. And until somebody that's listening has been on a race team, you'll never understand what we're talking about. I crewed three cars, SECA, for like 6 years. I get it. Sleeping in the back of a pickup truck, sleeping in a hotel room with 10 other people, eating. No, I'm not eating Top Ramen. Give it up. Spam. I love my Spam sandwiches. But, but it makes a better person out of you, I think.
Well, a lot of what I get out of racing now is I've been very successful in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I have been, and I'm still very fortunate to get to do it. One of the things that I really look forward to is trying to be a decent influence on some of the kids that come out,
mm-hmm.
hoping that they grasp on to the sport and maybe start wanting to go in that direction, whether at some level where it can be to work on cars and learn about them,
mm-hmm.
because there's so many different things that can come about from the sport just by being involved.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
And just that alone kind of drives me at times when I'm looking for things to keep me going.
Right.
And I know last year I talked about not racing, and I wasn't going to.
I know.
And some things happen, and, here we are again.
Well, there is such a thing as things happen for a reason.
I don't see me from the outside, but I hope that I'm a decent influence on some of it.
I don't think
you. That's about all I can ask for.
I don't think you'd be driving for anybody if you weren't. Because you correct me if I'm wrong, there's a couple of drivers out there that are always looking for a ride, and they're probably pretty good drivers, right?
There are some that are pretty good drivers, and there's others that are very undeserving and have a whole lot behind them.
Yeah, and that's called money.
Right.
But that doesn't make them any happier than you are or any of the other ones. So you have to just kind of take that with a grain of salt. They have to walk in their own shoes. You need to step up. And like you said, you reach out to the young drivers. And I already know some of the drivers that you're talking about, that if it wasn't for a checkbook, they wouldn't be there. But that's okay. If that's the way, you can prove them wrong by beating them on a smaller budget, a smaller team. And trust me, you'll have way more fun after the race than they will. Because
I find it absolutely hilarious at if they really knew what I was racing against what they've got.
I know.
I absolutely think that is one of the funniest things that could ever possibly happen.
And if you told them, they wouldn't believe you.
They don't believe you.
No, they wouldn't. It's funny. I interviewed Matt DiBenedetto last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you watched any of the last two races that boy was in.
Matt, the dude's phenomenal, and he deserves to be in Cup.
Yeah.
And he will, and when he gets the right ride, and he will get it.
Oh, yeah.
He will be phenomenal in the sport. And just how he approaches what he does and the gratefulness that he has is something that maybe 5% of those guys have.
Exactly. And you're being very nice, very generous with 5%.
But he is what you see.
Oh, yeah.
He is what you see.
It was the best. It was one of the best interviews I've had from somebody out of Cup that I could even possibly tell you. You know, and it's so funny too. I was trying to get Michael Waltrip. I was going to, you know, review his yeah. How funny is that? he's doing the new movie. He's doing the new movie. You know, he's got the book out, blink of an eye. Figured, hey, the local San Diego, you know, racers might be in.
What you see on TV with Michael Waltrip is not what you get in person.
I know. You can say that the same thing about John Force. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to chat with John Force from NHRA.
I have never seen a drag race live to this day.
Oh,
I'm 55 years old, and I've never seen a drag race live.
Well, if I ever get, I think I've got, I'm trying to get NHRA to send me tickets for the finals. If I get a couple tickets, I'll send them your way.
Count me in.
All right, buddy.
I would love it.
I don't know if you're a social media kind of guy, but if you are, how do they follow you?
I'm on Facebook at just under Chuck Becker, and it's a big old picture of my smiling face. So I'm in my uniform on there. So,
but, all right.
As long I kind of look at them a little bit to make sure it's not a fake Facebook thing, but
yeah,
but I'm happy to have anybody on there, and I post a lot of racing stuff, and I don't do it much personal stuff, but I definitely do a lot of racing stuff on there.
That's all we care about. Chuck, thank you very much for taking time out of your day. Love chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And anytime.
All right, buddy. All right. We're going to take a quick break, folks, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170 Racer Radio. Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to certifiedcarcare.net for all your automotive needs. Everything from headlights to taillights, they can do it all. They also work on buggies, race cars, classic cars, and your everyday driver. Certified Car Clinic. Again, 11370 North Woodside Avenue, certifiedcarcare.net, certifiedcarcare.net. And if you need those specialty under-the-hood hoses, braided lines, they do that in the same shop, hosespecialties.com, hosespecialties.com. Well, we were supposed to have somebody call in from the Off-Road Coalition, but it looks like they were unable to do so. So I'll hear that groveling. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I missed the show. Oh, I was doing this. Oh, I had a baby. Oh, I can't believe I delivered an elephant. Whatever. That's okay. They all know they're always welcome. So, goodness gracious, we've got Loxley Brown, and she's been hanging out with me for, I don't know, 3 hours, talking about Athena Racing, which is a all-girl program that Loxley has put together. And it was interesting. She was able to listen to an awful lot of folks calling in, race car drivers, and you know, as they were talking, her little head was over there bobbing and bobbing and bobbing, because pretty much everything you heard fits right into the program you're putting together for women, mainly the things that most people don't know what they're getting into.
Absolutely. And the young man who is in F3 talking about the amount of training he has to do and going up to Irvine to train, because if you've ever taken a look, you don't see that many race car drivers who are out of shape. So there's a lot of fitness that goes into it. And it's funny listening and talking to the young ladies who want to be on the team when they ask me why they have to commit at least an hour a day to training. My first response is, do you understand how grueling this is going to be? Like, you are going to become a professional athlete when you do this. So there's a certain amount of training you have to do. I was a gymnast when I was a teenager and got a scholarship to UGA. And the amount of training I had to do on a daily basis to stay in that type of shape was amazing. So just think about being in a race car. The heat is intense. The amount of equipment that you're surrounded by, the amount of work that you have to do. So yeah, there's a lot of training that goes into it. And then the media part and the marketing part, you know, when you listen to everyone talk about it, it's really great being out on the track. It is the most fun ever. It's a high that you will never experience anywhere else. But there is so much work that it takes to get you out onto that track that most people don't even account for. They just go, oh, you're a race car driver. Oh, you're a cool person. Your cool points just went up. But there's so much in the marketing side of things and getting the sponsors and talking to the right people and making the connections and following up on all the connections that everybody gives you just
they,
to keep.
They have no idea.
No, yeah. No, it's a 24/7 thing for me.
Well, don't you agree when you're talking to these young ladies about a rate, you know, you pretty much have to sit them down and say, this is a commitment.
Oh, this is, yes.
This is not fun. This is not a hobby. This is not badminton on the weekends. This is a career choice.
Exactly. And it's a total commitment from them. So that's why
if you can't commit.
No.
And that means you can't go out with the girls. You can't go out with the boys. You can't be messing around, staying out late at night and maybe doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You need to, you know, it's kind of like going to college.
It really is.
You know, you go to a 4-year college, it's not to go and party, which everybody seems to think that's what it is, but it's not. And you know, you think, oh, 4 years, dude, they'll go by so fast your head will swim.
Honestly, this is a little bit more like boot camp.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be that intense. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be work that they have to do, assignments they have to turn in to the team. And the team's dependent upon them.
Right.
Like, these are 10 girls who are going to become best friends for life. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be there for each other. And when one slacks off or when one has a bad week,
the other one's going to kick you in the butt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to affect more than just you.
Right.
And that's part of training and teaching that the responsibility factor is there.
Yeah.
And that's a necessity for any team.
I agree. And I don't think a lot of people realize it. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of washouts, too, you know, but maybe not, because once they go through the interrogation, I might as well use the word, you know, they're going to know whether they're going to pull the trigger or not.
Exactly.
And I think the ones that decide to pull it will pull it.
Yeah, this is going to be an intense interview. So it's not for the weak
faint of heart. Well, look at Dakota Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that he started at 6.
Exactly.
6. So his mom and dad or his family, whoever was involved, they made the commitment as long as he made the commitment. And I already can tell you right now, Dickerson is a straight A student when he was in school. Good kid, never got in trouble, you know, and he's a sponsor's dream.
Oh, just looking at his Instagram account while you were talking
him. Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those I would love to have come in and talk to the team just so they can have the experience of listening to him talk about his F3.
And not a top tier driver, not you know, a Frank Keady or a Newgarden, which is fine.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with those two, but you want somebody that's halfway up the ladder.
Exactly.
You know, how long, what did it take for you to get this far up the ladder? Yeah, you've still got 27 more rungs to go, but tell us about some of your experiences at the level and how you got to this. And then when he starts off with, well, I started when I was 6, and everybody in the room goes, ooh.
Oh, dang, I'm 16.
Yeah, and I'm 22. My goodness. And, of course, he'll be able to, you know, he'll also be able to explain to you as well that, hey, you know, maybe you're only 16, but that doesn't mean that the end of the road is ended.
You know, I talked with Borsett, and he started SCCA when he was in his 20s.
So. Oh, I know. Yeah.
You could start anything you want to in life if you're committed to it and you have the passion for it. Don't let age stop you.
No, age has nothing to do with it. And there's nothing worse than to getting to the end of the road and say, gosh, I wish I would have done that.
You know, I'm always talking about rocking chair dreams. You hear everybody go, oh, you know, sit in the rocking chairs. My grandmother had a great porch and we would sit in the rocking chair and she would tell me stories about
what everything. She wished she would have done.
No, what she had done. So that's the difference with me. I grew up around the women who
doers.
Had done things, who yeah. had traveled around the world in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Which is very difficult for a woman.
Very difficult for a woman to do. So,
especially going overseas.
Oh, my grandmother was one of the first women, one of the first American tourists who went into China in the 70s.
Really?
So,
by herself, I'll bet.
With her older brother.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, and at that point, she was in her 70s. So just listening to these stories of all these women who have been in my life and
yeah.
their rocking chair stories, I'm wanting to create, you know, for basically everybody around me, not even the team, but my best friends know this about me. I'm the one who pushes
the envelope.
Yeah. And pushes those around me to like really get out there and aspire to what they can be.
That's me too. Yeah. I mean, you and I wouldn't be doing all of this if I didn't believe in Athena Racing.
Exactly.
I mean, how many other radio stations have told you to come on down and hang out and get free airtime for as much as you want?
Yeah, none.
No. And it's things happen for a reason. You know, people come together for a reason. It's the big plan. However you believe in the big plan, I truly believe things happen for a reason. And we're put on this planet to help one another. And, you know, and then plus, you know me, I'll kick you in the butt any chance I get to keep you motivated. And
me
you
too.
And you in turn do the same.
Yeah.
Especially if I turn around and say, well, hey, I can hook you up with so-and-so. Well, by the time I get home tonight, I'll have three messages saying, have you called him
yet?
Have
you called?
Say, no, it's Sunday. Give it a break. But Athena Racing, go to athenaracing.org. That's A-T-H-E-N-A racing.org. And you can reach out to Loxley, whether you want to, you have a child that'd be interested. No boys. Sorry. Girls only. 16 to 20, 21.
And the deadline is September 30th. So that's coming up in 3 weeks.
That's in 3 days.
3 weeks.
No, that's in 3 days in my world.
Well, yeah, true.
3 weeks. Is it the 30th already? So, all right. Well, it's been fun as usual.
Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate you coming in and can't wait for this to hit the big screen.
Really take wings and go.
You just got to remember the little guys.
Oh, I will.
All right, folks. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. Wait, don't go anywhere. Gun Sports Radio right around the corner. Mr. Schwartz and I are going to rock the planet right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.